Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we're going to try an experiment next that'll start right now and continue with a second segment at the same time tomorrow. It's with some folks from a group called More in Common, an international initiative launched last year designed to build societies that are more resistant to polarization and social division. They've just come out with a major survey of people in the U.S., called Hidden Tribes, a study of America's polarized landscapes. It frames some politically defined groups of Americans that will be familiar to you, and an additional major one that they call the exhausted majority. And I won't go into more detail just yet so as not to bias any of the answers some of you might give in the call-in we're about to try. But first, let me welcome our guests. Miriam Juan Torres, senior researcher at the Hidden Tribe Survey, and Daniel Yudkin, Associate Director of Research. Thank you both for joining us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having us.
So let me open up the phones right away with our first invitation. Listeners, call in if you did not vote in the midterm elections or did not engage in any other political activity in the last year. So if you voted, that's okay, but if you didn't engage in any other political activity in the last year besides voting, or if you didn't vote in the midterm elections at all, or if you do not think your political ideology is very important to you, any of those things, call us, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or if you think Americans' differences are not too big to work together across ideologies. That is, we can work across ideologies for a compromise or consensus solutions. Does that sound like something you believe? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. Or if you feel alienated by the tribal conflicts in politics today, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Let me linger on that last one for just a second. If you feel alienated from politics by the tribal conflict in politics today, like you're not so attached to one, what you see as tribal side versus another, you're just alienated by the whole mess, give us a call and tell us how you're feeling about tribal conflict in politics today. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or if you think Americans' differences are not too big to bridge across ideologies for meaningful solutions, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, and we'll explain what we're up to after we talk to some of you. And so while the calls are coming in, Daniel and Miriam, tell us more about your group, More in Common. It's pretty new, right?
Sure, yeah. So More in Common is an international initiative across different countries that's devoted to trying to heal political division, heal and understand political division, and to try to sort of bring people together across lines of division.
Tell us more.
Yes, so the study really started as an effort to understand why there was rising support for some extremes, how our societies were getting more divided, and also to understand whether it was really true that our societies are divided into two large groups that are warred between each other, or it's actually something else, and there's a more complex picture to understand how to move forward, how to heal.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so just to jump on that, Miriam. So the idea here is that oftentimes in America we get this common narrative that people are divided 50-50, that there's there's red and blue, there's us versus them, there's liberal versus conservative, Democrat versus Republican. And what we suggested and what we found in our research is that the story is actually far more complicated than that. And so this was coming from a large-scale study of 8,000 Americans. We conducted a representative sample of voting age average Americans across the United States. And essentially what we found is that there's just a lot more to the story than just this sort of 50-50 split that's commonly told.
And we'll get more into it as we go. Your study finds that polarization is rooted in things that are deeper than disagreements over policy. Can you describe what some of those things are?
Sure. So we wanted to understand whether it was really a matter of people disagreeing over policy issues or there was something else. So we actually used a framework that we developed called core beliefs, which really describes what we also refer to as the hidden architecture of people's political attitudes and behavior. So we touched on things called moral foundations theory that help us understand how people build their moral judgment, parenting styles and authoritarianism, perception of threat, for example. So we include a variety of issues to try to understand whether there were some differences amongst the population between Americans.
Right. And a lot of these ideas are based, the idea of core beliefs is based in decades of research in social science, which suggests that people's political behavior and their political attitudes is often closely related to their underlying views, not just about political issues, but also just about what makes a good person, what kind of people we should be, and what kind of people we ought to strive to be. So it also includes things like views about personal responsibility. Are people or their circumstances more responsible for their outcomes in life?
Let's take a phone call. Jose in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jose.
Hi, Brian. Thanks. My view is politics are not that important because I live in Astoria and I lived in Texas for quite a long time, and I see that politics is meant to divide people, and really what it comes down to is really the back end of both Republican and Democrat, meaning it's a big business, and so that's really what it comes down to.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I don't think certain civil rights certainly a big important issue, but when it comes down to it, I think people are good at heart.
Let me ask you a few of the survey questions that our guests from More in Common mm-hmm. had, and just see how that matches up with what you just said. Or you don't have to think about it in the context of what you just said, but for you as somebody who is skeptical mm-hmm. about politics in the way that you said, mm-hmm. Do you think Americans' differences are too big for us to work together anymore, or not too big to work together across ideologies on our country's problems?
Not too big.
Not too big. Do you believe racism is a serious problem in the United States today?
Yes.
Do you believe race should be used as a factor in college admissions?
Yes, still.
A little more tentative on that.
Right, yes.
Do you believe sexism is a serious problem today?
Yes, it is.
Do you believe changing gender roles are also responsible for a weakening of the American family?
Changing gender roles in terms of men?
Yeah.
Having more responsibility or?
Well, they ask the question generally, so I don't want to, however you hear it. Daniel, did you want to?
Weakening, I would say no.
I believe if I remember correctly, I think the question was something like changing attitudes towards family issues are responsible for decaying of family values. And we're asking people whether they think that changing views towards sorts of these more moral issues are causing a decay, or they're making progress and they're helping improve our society and moving our society forward.
I see. Yeah. Do you want to answer it that way, Jose?
Sure. Generally speaking, I guess they are same. I'm indifferent on that. It just really depends on the granular issue, I would imagine.
Right, the people. And how much do you agree with this statement? Regardless of your parents' income group, you can grow up to be a success in this country if you work hard.
Yeah, that's true.
You think that is true?
I'm a product of that, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, thanks for answering some of those questions. Jose, I wonder if you would be willing. We're going to try to match some callers mm-hmm. who called in today for a follow-up interactive thing tomorrow. Would if you'd be willing to do that,
sure.
Would you stay on the line off the air, and we're going to take your contact information, okay? We'll get your callback number. Jose, thank you very much. So listeners, who else wants to answer these questions? Starting with, and Daniel, I'll get your comment on that caller in just a second. Do you feel a little bit like Jose, do you feel alienated by the tribal conflict in politics today? Give us a call and tell us how you feel that way. 212-433-WNYC, or how the tribal conflict in politics today makes you feel if you don't feel like you're so strongly on a side. 212-433-9692. Daniel, what do you want to say about Jose?
Oh, I just wanted to say that, you know, first of all, I really appreciate Jose's willingness to put himself out there and just put himself on the spot for these things. You know, some of these are tricky questions,
yes,
and they sometimes can be very politically charged. So, a lot of appreciation for that and his honesty. I also just want to say that, you know, Jose, the way that Jose responded is actually just really, really interesting, because what he's doing is he acknowledges, you know, the seriousness of issues like racism and sexism, but at the same time, that last question that Jose answered, I think, is a really, really important and interesting one. He suggested that regardless of your family income, you still can get ahead in America. And that's something that often, that question we tend to find more on conservative view, is a more conservative view than a liberal one. Liberals tend to emphasize the degree to which the deck is stacked against people who are not born in privileged situations. And so Jose is really representing, a very, very interesting sort of subsection of the American population, people who do recognize the importance of issues like racism and sexism and how much those are continue to be challenges in America today, but also deviates from the liberal line by saying, yes, there is an opportunity. I do believe in opportunity to get ahead and the potential to find success in America regardless of your income. I don't know if you agree, Miriam, but...
Yes, 100%. And I would like to add that one of the most fascinating parts about this study is the fact that we actually conduct a lot of in-depth interviews and focus groups after the survey. So we identified the different segments in society and we had a lot of conversations. And what we found is that it's true that in the wings, like, people tended to have more homogeneous and beliefs and tended to be more on what we perceive to be the sides. But in reality, a lot of the people actually held more conflicting views, or not necessarily conflicting, but perhaps more nuanced. So we saw that, for example, the vast majority of the population in the United States believed that racism is a problem. But there were differences in the way to go about it. And a lot of people within these middle segments, and there's a few of them and they're different, actually... we're willing to listen to the other side. We're willing to have conversations, really anxious about the inability sometimes to have a productive dialogue, or frustrated by the perception that people on the extremes didn't want to listen to the other, but like very, very willing to have those conversations that they perceive are needed.
Bill in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. So you were telling my screener about your frustration with the current political climate?
I think very much that it feels like squabbling children on two diametrically opposed sides of an argument that will never agree.
And you told our screener that it makes you feel sometimes like you don't even want to participate?
Absolutely. It's, going out to vote, I know, is a very important thing, but... When you have these people in politics saying the things that they say and doing the things that they do, it makes it so you don't even want to be part of that game. You don't want to play in the game.
You had a contested congressional race in Montclair this election. Did you vote?
I did not, no.
When's the last time you voted?
About a decade ago.
Wow. So how do you see yourself in American society? Like, how do you come to grips with your non-participation?
Not easily, and it's a point of contention between my wife and myself. But I don't think of myself as a Republican or a Democrat. I think that I have my own ideas, and some of them are perhaps historically Republican ideas. Some are much more democratic. Mm-hmm. I think that my politics have changed significantly from what my parents were, but they are my own, and I don't like to call myself one thing or another.
What were your parents?
Republican.
Uh-huh. And let me throw some of the survey questions at you from the More in Common Hidden Tribes survey. Do you think hate speech is a problem in the U.S. today?
Yes.
Do you think political correctness is a problem in America today?
Not so much now.
Do you think American identity is a force for polarization in the U.S. today, or a force for unity?
I think we are polarized.
On when people talk about their American identity, do you think that's a force for polarization?
I believe that we have two very different identities as Americans in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's answering your question, but I believe that where we live in Montclair, New Jersey, we are on the opposite end of the spectrum from a lot of the Midwest.
Do you think...
Almost...
Go ahead. Do you want to finish?
Almost entirely different country.
Do you think immigration is overwhelmingly a benefit to this country, overwhelmingly a threat, or a mix of both?
A benefit. Overwhelmingly a benefit.
Bill, would you be willing to participate in a follow-up tomorrow? If so, that's you can make your decision. I'll put you on hold, and if so, you can give your phone number to our screener, and we may include you in a group follow-up conversation tomorrow. We really appreciate your participating. So, Miriam, there's a person so frustrated with politics today and the polarization that he hasn't voted in a decade. And a lot of our listeners on this show that talks about politics a lot are probably thinking, oh my God, how could somebody not vote in a decade? But really, that's like half the country.
Yeah, what we found in our survey is that there's actually a lot of people who are not active because they are really frustrated and because they find themselves as not being always on one side or the other. And it seems that we talk a lot about polarization and we talk a lot about partisanship, and there's definitely been an increase in that. But the reality is that the groups that are more homogeneous and who always fall on one side of the issues are actually quite small, and that there's a lot of people who fall somewhere in between. A lot of people who believe certain things and they don't necessarily want to compromise on those, but who actually like fall on the other side when it comes to other issues. But they don't feel that their voices are represented, and oftentimes they don't feel even that it might be acceptable to voice the fact that they have some views that are more Republican and some views that are more Democrat.
Yeah, and I'll also just add that the caller, again, there's a representative sample, or he seems to represent a group of people that we talk to. He's not necessarily, he's ambivalent, but he's not disengaged. So he seems to know what's going on. He has opinions about political issues. This is not someone who doesn't know, and doesn't have opinions about things. But yet, at the same time, his sense of ambivalence or maybe disillusionment has caused him to step away from the political process. And so that's a really important distinction between people, and this is very typical of people that we see in the exhausted majority, people who are both ambivalent but that doesn't necessarily and more flexible in their views, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're uninformed. They often know what's going on.
We'll continue in a minute with Daniel Yudkin and Miriam Juan Torres from the group More in Common, and more of your calls right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. If you're just joining us, we're trying an experiment in this segment today, and we'll continue with a segment at the same time tomorrow with two guests from a group called More in Common, which is an initiative launched just last year designed to build societies that are more resistant to polarization and social division. They're doing this in the U.S. They're doing this in France, and apparently, boy, do they really need it in France right now, and a few other countries. And they have this new national survey out called Hidden Tribes, a study of America's polarized landscapes. My guests are Miriam Juan Torres, senior researcher at More in Common, and Daniel Yudkin, associate director of research. And before we take another call, now let's reveal, now that we've heard some people answer some questions without knowing where you're actually headed. One of your main points is to reframe the political categories so that in addition to the range from progressive activists to devoted conservatives, you also have this group you call the exhausted majority, which your survey actually finds is 2/3 of the country. Explain the exhausted majority.
Sure. So the exhausted majority, as you said, is about two-thirds of the country. Now, what we did in our survey, we, as Miriam was saying a little earlier, we asked people a variety of questions about their core beliefs, ranging everywhere from their moral values to their views about personal responsibility. And we categorized people according to those views. And what we came up with was seven different what we call tribes in the American population. As you said, Brian, ranging all the way from progressive activists to on the left to devoted conservatives on the right, with traditional liberals, passive liberals, politically disengaged moderates, and traditional conservatives in between. Now, among those groups, what we find is a subsection of the population that actually fits what we call the exhausted majority. This includes the traditional liberals, the moderates, the politically disengaged, and the passive liberals. And the exhausted majority has three main qualities. So the exhausted majority are people that are more flexible in their views. They tend to have not necessarily answering straight down the line from issue to issue, but they deviate from issue to issue. They're generally frustrated and fed up with polarization, and also they're less active in the political process. So their voices are not as often heard because they're less strident with their voices and they're taking up less oxygen.
Yes, so the wing segments are far more active, whether it comes to social media, traditional media channels, whether it comes to a variety, an array of political activities that they could actually engage in, whereas the groups in the exhausted majority do not engage as much. And the traditional liberals, I would say that they engage, but they are fatigued, they are more willing to compromise, and they're really eager for dialogue. Whereas on the other sides, on the wings, there's more actually a view of the world that's more us versus them. I thought that something that was really interesting during the in-depth interviews and the focus groups was the way in which they perceive division. So division is something that came up a lot in our conversations. And the people in the exhausted majority would often refer to division in the country as, yes, the country feels divided and it feels like I'm a spectator and I see these two camps warring. Whereas the people in the wing segments would actually say, yeah, because the other side. So mm-hmm. they saw it more as in us versus them, yeah. Which was really fascinating.
Let's get one more quick story on here. We just have a minute, but Katie in Cornwall, New York, you're on WNYC. Hi, Katie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. And you feel kind of caught in the middle by your particular circumstance?
I do. I am a military spouse. I've been married to my husband for quite some time, and I tend to be the more liberal of my peers. With our group of friends, there's a lot of conservative folks, so I feel like sometimes I'm a spectator watching tribes around me, and I don't always know where to call home. So it's pretty interesting.
Do you feel like you personally share some beliefs with the two different groups that you're kind of in?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because we spend so much time with our military families, you know, and on social media, I'm pretty vocal about things that I feel if there's an issue that comes uh-huh. up. And I do get a lot of pushback from friends because we are like family. There's a lot of sometimes political sparring between one another, and I'm definitely the more liberal, but not on every issue. As yeah. you mentioned, you could be liberal and lean one way on one issue and go completely conservative on another issue. And that's where I find myself. And I think that's sometimes confusing to the members of the other tribes around me that yes. I don't stake claim with one tribe.
Katie, we're out of time for now, but we would love it if you would participate in our follow-up conversation tomorrow. So if you're willing, give your phone number or your contact to our producer off the air right now. And tomorrow at around 11:30, we will do part two of this experiment. Just tell our listeners quickly about hiddentribes.us, where they can take a survey.
Right. So you can all go on Hidden Tribes US and actually take a very short survey that would allow you to find out to what segment you belong.
To which sort of political tribe
right. people
are
in. It's a short quiz, 5 or 10 minutes, maybe 8 minutes. Hiddentribes.us, hiddentribes.us. And you navigate there, you can learn more about our research, you can learn more about the organization, and you can take this short quiz, which will tell you which of the seven tribes you belong to.
And we thank Miriam Juan Torres and Daniel Yudkin from the group More in Common and the study Hidden Tribes, a study of American polarized landscape. And we're going to see tomorrow at this time if we can use some of what we're learning from them and from some of you on the phones, whether we can take one baby step toward depolarizing a little bit. So join us again for that tomorrow. And everybody, thanks for listening today.